Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Now, I went to the sport on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's sport, that is, the 8-year-old Greta. She played soccer, won their second game.
Well done.
Fantastic.
Well done, Greta.
Oh, second game of the year, and they were pumped. Back-to-back wins they've had. So something's happened. You see that moment.
Unlike when they were playing touch football under Coach Palmer.
Yeah. Oh, geez. We got towed up. We were playing girls 2 years older than us.
Yeah, all right. Okay, excuses, mate.
No, I've got plenty of them. But anyway, it was nice. I watched on the sideline half with our team and half with one of the parents from the other team.
Mm.
But the thing was, before the game, I got in a bit of trouble because I was there and I saw someone I knew. Oh, it's Liz. G'day, Liz.
Hey, Liz.
Liz comes over. Oh, how you going? A kiss on the cheek. One, two.
Yeah.
And Greta gave me a look that could.
Of disgust.
Burn through steel. Like it was.
Exactly.
And she's walked straight up.
Has every
Liz
right to, too, by the way.
And said, I quote, he's got a wife, you know. And Liz, Liz, the look on her face. Crikey, it was to kiss on the cheek to say hello to a mate. And Greta has seen it as the most underhanded.
Oh, don't worry. Mate, Hannah did that when she was little, and there was this old lady, she was about 80.
Mate, they're so protective, and they just are just going, hang on a second.
You're not my mother. You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
I know. Oh,
so anyway, we watched the game. I watched half of it with Liz, and then out of guilt, I went and watched the other half with our own team.
Yeah,
but on the way out, on the way as we were leaving, I got Greta one. Good. I just came over. Hey, Liz, see you later.
Did you?
Another one, just for good measure. Greta. Bloody hell.
Fair dinkum. Kids. Oh, I tell you what, mate. Oh, they're all the same.
Yep.
They are all the same.
And then I bought her off by taking her to the canteen and giving her a couple of lolly straps.
And don't say a word to mum when we get
just
home.
Just between us, right, kid?
Yeah.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Give a dog a bone, they might need a Prozac instead. A rising number of pets are being medicated for anxiety, with vets noting a spike in dogs, cats and rabbits needing treatment for nervous behaviour, including pill prescriptions.
Nervous behaviour.
My dogs suffer from separation anxiety.
They're dogs, right? Don't they all just go off their rocker when, like last night, for example, there was, I don't know what it sounds like, but I'm assuming it was a possum mating.
Yeah. Because
it was this funny.
Yeah. That's a possum mating, all right. Yeah.
Like that, out in the bush. And the dog was.
Hang on, just do that. Sign. You do that again for me. How did it go? Yep. That was a possum mating, all right.
So,
how long before they pop out, kids?
Oh, well.
This wouldn't be a 9-monther, would it?
That possum lasted longer than
you.
Anyway, but the dog went nuts, and I could not stop it, could not calm him down. You go, is that, some people go, I think it's a little bit too, people are too quick to jump on, this animal has anxiety. Because maybe it's just a natural trait.
But apparently pets got used to their owners working from home, and they're now going back to work so they can understand where they're being ignored, so the dogs are acting up. And we do notice when we put our dogs in to pet care when we've gone away once.
They're dogs.
And they come back, and poor Bear and Taco were spewing and crapping because they had separation anxiety. It does happen.
What about Thunder?
Oh, no. Bear couldn't care less. Taco panics.
Yeah, so Wold panics a bit too. Around the backyard, he's going, barking
fireworks,
as though he's going to fix the Thunder by barking at it.
What about fireworks? No, our dogs, don't worry about fireworks.
Yep, hates it.
There you go.
But is that anxiety? Do you know?
I don't know.
Not anxiety. It's just what dogs do.
Sean from Jillaby. Sean, I know you have alpacas. Do you, any of them medicated?
I think Billy should be medicated.
Right.
Okay, fair enough.
You look at him and, if you haven't been near him, you look at him, he spits at you.
Yeah, rude. Isn't that a trait?
Mornings in here at the studio.
No, that's just Billy. Hey, just getting back to what Rob was saying, that actually sounds like wombats. I've got two wombats that live out of their house and it sounds like them mating.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay, look, there you go.
Give that noise again, Rob.
Yeah.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
on the text line this morning, Rob Palmer, what a fair-weathered fan you are. You pick your team and you stick with it, just like your buddy Paddy. He's loyal and true through the good times and the bad.
That's right.
An anonymous texter who we think may will have your other phone with them when I'm not looking. And then, thank you, Aaron from Canwell.
Yeah, what does Aaron because, say?
You know what? I don't hold on to little bits of this and bits of that so I can stitch you up in the future. But Aaron certainly remembered you from last year when the Broncos kept losing, how keen you were swapping to the Dolphins. You were pledged your allegiance to the Dolphins because your Broncos were garbage.
What I was doing, I was just supporting another Queensland team.
You're not only two-faced, hypocritical, manipulating, control-obsessed narcissist.
Go on.
You're a good bloke. Hey, but I've got something to prove your narcissist ways that I was going to show you right now. In fact, check the Instagram page, everyone.
Oh, what have you?
Paddy's new T-shirt.
Oh, so you...
There's a T-shirt here. It says, if Gerard can't fix it, we're all screwed. Oh, my. And you sent it to me. It's a... Oh, my goodness. There is nothing you can't fix, is there? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God, I hate being right all the time.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
It is a pleasure to have in the studio with us this morning from the Australian Reptile Park. Haven't spoken to Ranger Mick for a while, but he's in. Good morning, Ranger Mick.
Good morning, everybody. Lovely to be here.
Mate, and we're doing What's in the Box?
In the Box.
From the Australian Reptile Park.
You've got a couple of presents for us by the looks of things.
I have. I brought three things in this morning. Two that are sort of hand size and one that's substantially a baby eater.
Yes. What? And so none of these animals have eight legs, do they?
No, none have got eight.
And none are dangerous?
Depending on your age?
No. Okay. Well, one relatively dangerous, but the one I brought today is very, very tame, captive animal. So
you say that with four fingers on one hand.
Yes. It has potential, shall we say.
Now, before we go, what's in the box? How good is that? We've been covering it in the news this morning. Historic moment at the Australian Reptile Park. Handful of endangered Manning River turtles mating for the very first time.
Yeah, very first time in captivity, and it's it really is very, very exciting for us at the park, and even more exciting for the species. Unfortunately,
I'll bet
just about gone.
Are they really?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I could never imagine that native turtles would be endangered or critically endangered, but that's the grim reality. And the way it happens, very sadly, is bushfire, ash runoff, deterioration of habitat. But feral animals are really doing it. If you're a turtle, mum comes out of the water, climbs up the riverbank to deposit her egg. She's got to dig a hole. It's a nest. And while she's doing that, she gets killed by a fox. If she does manage to deposit her eggs and get back into the water, good for her. Next predator to arrive on the riverbank is invariably wild pig and extreme sense of smell.
It's the eggs.
Find truffles, dig up the eggs and eat them. So
we were
surveying Manning River and we found that there are hardly any turtles at all. Vast majority of what we did find were actually adult aging males. Hardly any females and no juveniles. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they're really on the brink of extinction. When you add to that bushfire, the river can boil. Yeah. The ash load that enters the river is incredibly toxic. Riverbank stabilisation is now gone. And so when it really, really rains, enormous volume of water comes into the river and washes everybody out to sea. And if you spent 100 million years living in fresh water, salt water is a bit of a shock for you. And
yeah,
of course, that's
can imagine.
The end of you. So
they're really up against it.
Yeah.
Do the turtles, do they like mate as slowly as they do other things?
Yes, they do. They do. Yeah, yeah. Very, very slowly. And
does she say to him, can you speed things up?
First time ever. She's pretty slow as well. She's
Very, very slow. Just hurry up.
Yeah. And of course, how do we know they've mated? Well, we've got a junior staff on what we call Porn Watch who sits observing with the radio.
What a job.
Are there movies that you put on for these turtles?
How was work today? Slow but exciting.
Well, it didn't happen overnight, but it did happen. Well done, Nell. Well, right. It's time to play What's in the Box.
We've been deflecting for the last couple of minutes because I'm not sure about what's in the box.
I think it'll be a while before I'm back here.
Not at all, Mick. Not at all.
Oh my God.
Okay, what's in the first in the box?
All right, okay. The first one we've got.
Australian
Reptile Park. What about beautiful little snakes? This one is called Stimson's Python. This is the entry-level snake if you want a pet snake at home.
Yeah.
Very, very easy animal to look after. If there were 10 things you had to do to look after it and you forgot 6, this would still thrive. He's traditionally a bat eater. He lives in the Northern Territory in the top end of Western Australia and Queensland. They live in bat caves and they snatch little bats out of the air, not micro bats, not your flying fox, tiny little guys about an inch wide.
Right.
And down the hatch they go. Yeah. In captivity, very, very simple. A mouse, you know, every week or 10 days, you know, you buy it from the pet shop, you thaw it out in the glass that Nana keeps her teeth in. You pop it into the cage, snake gobbles it down. No need to tell Nan.
Because it's cold. Because it's colder, are they
still
less
looking for a teeth?
Are they less active?
Yes, they are. Although if you kept them at home, you'd have a heat pad for the winter time.
Yeah.
And that keeps them, you know, nice and warm. So around about 30 degrees is ideal for this species.
Seems pretty comfortable on your hand.
Yeah, contestant number one. Rob, you can grab that snake.
You can. You can certainly hold this one.
I've got to do the buttons.
He's just going to move over you. So you just kind of go. One hand after the other.
First,
and you're nice and warm, so that's the thing for this snake.
This is the first time a decent snake's been on his body.
He looked a lot happier on your arm.
Oh, he did.
He's not going to bite.
No, he's not.
No, good. You're nice and warm. Good radiating body heat. He
wants
to stay warm.
He's going up my sleeve. Hang on a second.
Just enjoy it, Robert. Just enjoy it.
He's going back to the bush.
Okay, what's in the box number two, Ranger Mick, from the Australian Reptile Park?
This one is a little bit different. Very, very pretty little snake. This is a corn snake.
Oh, fuck.
This one comes from America, and this one's actually quite problematic in Australia. There's a lot of illegal imports of these guys in the 1980s, 90s, and 2000s. Big underground market for them, and the people who bought them out of the back of pubs were inexperienced, and a fair whack of them escaped. And we've now got several wild or feral populations in Sydney alone.
If they lunge onto you, like in that...
I'm in handcuffs.
Oh, you are. would they... okay, well, what's the outcome?
These guys have got a lot of little teeth, but they're only about a millimetre and a half long if that bit you.
So step forward.
It'd be a Band-Aid and a Panadol, and even then I'd accuse you of wasting my valuable Band-Aid.
Okay. Contestant number two.
Okay, that's... I think Chloe, our producer, should hold that one on. She will. Okay, and what's in the box with Ranger Mick from the Australian Reptile Park?
I'm guessing it might be a little bit bigger than the first two.
Okay, what's in the box?
Looking at
Australian Reptile Park.
You're going to love this, Cutty Gerard.
Number three.
Oh, my goodness.
Not going.
This thing is metres long.
It is. This is a Burmese python. This is the world's second largest species of snake. This one's about 3.5 metres long, weighs about 20 kilos, and we classify this as a juvenile. This snake will end up being around about 100 kilos, about 5 metres long, round as a 20-litre bucket, and big enough to consume an adult human.
Oh, contestant number three. Step forward.
Can I take contestant number one, snake?
You can take that one. And while I'm holding this, I can say I'll be taking your wallets, boys.
They are beautiful animals.
They are beautiful creatures. And Ranger Mick, you can see all these snakes on display up at the Australian Reptile Park.
Yes, you can.
Course.
And of course, it's not just about looking at animals up there. Our hidden agenda is, of course, saving lives. We run the federal anti-venom program for every terrestrial or ground-based snake in the country. All anti-venom starts out life at the reptile park, and so too with funnel web spiders. And all the listeners might know that we advocate for people to safely catch funnel webs and send them to us at the park.
Yeah,
and we can save lives.
Absolute pleasure having you in, Ranger Mick from the Australian Reptile Park. Thank you. Can't clap, Rob.
Thank
sorry
you
about
once
that.
Again.
Thank
My
you,
pleasure.
Mick. Thanks for coming in. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Just reading this story about Cody and Erica's daughter, just finished year 12, and the couple were talking about what they should do next. University wasn't on the cards, so Cody thought it was high time Kylie got a job and started paying her own way at a reasonable rate.
Yeah.
What they planned to charge her, $300 a month.
to live on the roof.
A month.
A month.
That's less than $100 a week.
Yeah.
With a full-time job.
Yeah, you say a full-time job quite often if she's doing a traineeship. And I tell you, not on a huge amount of money when you do traineeships.
Yep.
Like to take that whack out of the out of her pay. Chloe, our producer. G'day, Chloe.
G'day, boys.
Did you pay rent to your mum?
I did. Okay. As soon as I was 16 and I started getting the youth allowance payments from Centrelink,
mm-hmm.
I started paying mum some rent. She was a single mother of four, so she needed every bit of money she could get, really.
Yeah.
I guess it depends if you come from like a privileged family or not as to whether the money is needed.
If your mum was in a situation where, say, she paid off her house and all that sort of stuff, do you think she would have charged you to
live there? I think she would have.
Oh, would she?
Just not as much.
Like a life skill. It's like learning that things cost money and that living costs money and that, you know, if you have a job and you're working full time and you've got this income and you say, well, I can either piss it up against the wall, or I can actually exercise a little bit of responsibility.
Are you saying Chloe?
Pay things off. Chloe's very responsible. That's what
thank
I was saying.
Rob, thank you.
I thought you were talking about she was up the wall.
No.
How dare you? But then you hear a lot of people who they'll say they charge their kids rent, but I was saving that for them anyway. So you go.
See, people might do that, but it teaches the person. Like I would. I'm not sure.
Now look at me without laughing.
To go
when Griffo,
if
say next year he got a full time job. Do you reckon you charge
school
Griffo to stay to live at the house,
mate? There's a
so you can't do it without laughing.
There's a boarding charge.
Yeah,
you pay this, and then I think what I would do is if I was able to,
yeah,
and I hope I am, I'll be able to put that into an account and keep it for him.
Yeah.
And you'd say, "In he wouldn't know. I wouldn't tell him.
Yeah.
Unless he's listening right now.
which he probably wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting. Like, but everyone's in different circumstance.
For sure, yeah.
As to why they do or they don't. And like, if your parents are in that situation where every single dollar helps, of course you'd say, hey, listen, guys, you've got to contribute. Stop looking at me, Palmer, please, because I don't charge the kids.
You're not charging any rent?
Anyway, it is 11
past.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Oh, jeez. Bloody Viv and Sue, mostly sunny 20. We've got about 4 degrees on some parts of the central.
Sue, is that Sierra Sue?
No, it's Sierra. No, Viv and Sue, because they come to the unorthodox. Victor is V. Viv and Sue, they come to the unorthodox bingo. And anyway... You know, a couple of weeks ago, you led me down the path. We're talking about cruising. I said, oh, I can't stand cruising. If I want to go somewhere, I just want to fly there.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've been on their 8th cruise. And Sue said to me, I want to pick a bone with you. You know how you're bagging out cruising.
You've been ribbing the cruising.
Ribbing cruising. I just can't stand it.
Yeah, but some people love it.
I know, Robert.
Just because you don't like it.
Well, you haven't even been on a cruise. How can you said you'll never go on one just before?
I guess I can't be a judge on how good or not good a cruise is because I haven't been on one and I may never do it.
Look, it's Groundhog Day. You get up and you have going breakfast with everyone. Then you do something during the morning. Then you go and have lunch with everyone.
Okay, so you're sorry, but you're not contrite because you're just banging on about how bad cruises are again.
But I love it.
Cruises can be fun.
And they can be fun. But what happens?
I would pick it based on what it looks like from the outside.
Cruising is for gloaters because every time you go on, you talk to people, how many cruises have you been on? Mm-hmm. What? How many? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is our 15th time. We've been on 15 cruises.
If it doesn't have like at least an 8-story water slide on top, I'm not interested.
Seriously. Anyway, look, some people love it, and Viv and Sue, they're going on the 8th cruise. Oh, they might be cruise gloaters as well, because that's what they told me. They're on their 8th cruise. They just love them. Just absolute. Some people do love it for the food, and we'd play
gutter. What's the shortest cruise you could go on?
Oh, 3-dayer out from Sydney.
That could be okay. There's no Groundhog Day with a three-day cruise.
Colin Bloody Norma went from Wyoming. They went on a 3-day cruise only recently.
From Wyoming to where?
Oh, no. No, they go
down Narara Creek.
You go Circular Quay or take a peg on your nose if you do. No, they just go out from Sydney. They just get out, come back, 3-day.
Come back.
Yeah, that's it. Have a good cruise, eh? Holy jeez. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. And Laurie McKenna, former mayor and also former Mariners coach, joins us this morning, was part of the 20,059 on Saturday night in Industry Group Stadium. Laurie, good morning, sir.
G'day, Loz.
Good morning, boys. And I've got my shorts on as well, so it's not too cold yet. I just heard your comments before.
Yeah, exactly.
I've just been in swimming paddy, so there's not much to see.
Mate, did you do your Terrigal swim again?
I did it this morning. I was down there. The place is buzzing with. I've never saw as many yellow hats going round about, people walking in the morning. So all the Mariners caps have came out the wardrobe, so they've got them all on down the Terrigal this morning.
Good feeling, mate.
No, the place is buzzing. You know, it's great for the town, great for the regions. You know, everybody's talking about it now. I just wish all these people who are talking would come to the games all the time and not just for semi-finals. And to get 20,000 there at the weekend was amazing. And the boys, Monty's got the boys playing so well and so much confidence. And Melbourne City's won the championship the last, I think, three seasons. But the Mariners can give them a game. They played a few weeks ago, drew at Gosford. And there's no reason why they can't go down there full of confidence.
Yeah, it was great to see that the Mariners didn't go out and just try and defend a 1-0 lead. You know, they went out hard, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. The first half was a real, you know, they hit the woodwork twice. It's not as though they were sitting. I thought maybe Adelaide will come and sit a little bit, but they had a go as well. But when the goals get scored early in the second half, when the second one went in, and what a great finish. You know, the goalkeeper, just about an own goal. Goalkeeper, great save, and then he's just smashed it at a tight angle, and the place went bananas, you know. And then 4-1, you know, you can, Monty would have started it relaxed, and he never quite brung the cigar out in the sideline, but he made his press conference was quite good, because Rado Vizicic, the Melbourne City coach, had tipped Adelaide to win, and Monty just gave him a cheeky little comment. He'll see you in a couple of weeks, Rado. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, as we spoke to Danny McBreen on Friday, and of course, Danny was with the winning side of the Mariners 10 years ago, and he said, our scene's reminiscent. He said it's a very similar feel with the teams from then to now.
Yeah, you know, a big bit of belief. You know, when Arnie had them, they had a really good squad, different kind of squad. You know, they've got a lot of young players, but they had that belief, and a lot of people, they don't recognise these players as big name players, you know. But you look at Cummings, Danny Vukovic was outstanding again, and Vukovic coming back to the club has been a great sign for them. He brings that leadership. He's been there for all those years ago. He played in that first grand final, which is amazing, that he's still going and going really well and leading the team. And to see Matt Simon still involved with the club as well is great. And you know, it's just good. It's good to see. You see a lot of these old fans who've been there for day ones, and they're still there. They stick through the club thick and thin. They're all walking about with big smiles on their face this morning. And for the next 2 weeks, we'll be doing that.
Yeah, and local talent too in the side, Loz.
Yeah, you know, they've got, and Monty, big thing with Monty, Monty was at the club as a youth team coach, and he's brung a lot of these boys through, you know, and then he was popping them into the first team, and people's going, who's this? And these boys have came through and stood up, and they're not there just because they're a local junior, or they're there because they're good players, and they've got that belief. Monty's done a great job giving that belief to players, and that they can go out and do it.
Yeah, Mariners taking on Melbourne City FC Saturday, 3rd of June. They're there in the grand final. Thanks for joining us this morning, Loza.
No problem. I'm going to put some pants on there.
Beautiful.
Oh, I didn't need to think about that.
Glad it's not Sky. See you, mate. See you, Lozzie.
See you, boys.
See you, mate. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. We're looking this morning, what did you queue for? You know, actually, wasn't what you queued for, but yesterday, you know how we tried to get on to Matchbox 20 and we went on with Mickey D, 9 o'clock. We tried to get tickets yesterday.
We sat there with our phones on.
Hour and a half.
You're in the queue.
And it started generating. Oh, no. Wait 10 seconds, generating, and it didn't. But
listen, at least you can sit down for that.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Like the queue for the roller coaster I was in.
2 hours. Just all right. Standing okay.
There. And there's
all
only right. So much conversation you can really come up with spontaneously right. With your own family.
And you don't want to talk to the people behind you. Triple M is presenting Matchbox 20 with the Goo Goo Dolls, playing Qdos Bank Arena, Feb 22nd. Now, tickets on sale now from Ticketek. For full tour info, head to tegvanegmond.com or listen to Mickey, because Mickey will put you into the standby list. You don't have to queue.
Yeah.
What have you queued for? Got Phil.
G'day, Phil.
Yeah, good day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. What did you queue for?
Yeah, a bit of a funny story. I've never been shy to talk to a girl, and many years ago, I actually queued in the at a club waiting to go into the bathroom three times until I had enough courage to go and talk to a girl.
Okay,
It was one of those things where I don't know what happened to me. I just couldn't get the guts to go and talk to this girl.
Yeah.
So I went and waited in the line to go to the bathroom three times, walked in, basically stood there, turned back around and went back out.
And waited in the line again, just to buy
And waited
buy
in
time.
The line again just so I could go and have a chat. And turned out I've been now married to that girl nearly 13 years.
Oh,
worth the wait.
Well done, Phil.
Worth the wait, Phil. Oh, mate.
Well done, mate.
Bravo.
Took a bit, but yeah.
Mate, we've got a double pass to Dave Hughes, One Night Only, Art House Wong, June 3rd. Congratulations. You'll take your misso, okay?
Oh, beautiful. Thanks very much, guys.
Good on you, Phil. We've got Deb. G'day, Deb.
Hey, Deb.
Good, boys. How you going?
Yeah, what'd you queue for?
Well, if I said I was queued up to see you two, that'd be a lie. But
Four and a half hours for what?
To line up to see the production of The X Factor, the filming of it.
Was that with Channel 7 that time? Was it Channel 7?
A long time ago.
X Factor was like
just to get in the building.
It started right back in the Olympia Park station, and the queue was unbelievable. And I thought, I'm not going home now. I'm here.
Was it worth the wait? Was it worth the wait? Scotty Batto Bay, morning, mate.
Hey, Scott.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, what'd you queue up for, buddy?
Back in the day at Bathurst, Peter Brock's autograph.
Oh, that was worth the wait, though, 2 hours.
How was he to meet him? Did he have a chat?
Yeah, that's why it took so long, because he was just chatting to everyone that was getting his autograph.
Yeah, right.
He was the top bloke.
They reckon
he's
a legend.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
But speaking of autographs, remember there was Harry Cooper was signing autographs once at a home show.
Yeah.
His queue,
is that
just
Dr.
took
Harry Cooper?
Dr. Harry Cooper, the vet.
Yeah.
It took him forever. The queue was so long it wasn't funny, but it turns out Harry was selling books at the desk as he was going, taking cash for
good
books.
Work. Good work, Harry. Hey, Scotty, we're sending you to Double Pass, Surfside Sounds, Coastal Concert Series, Surfside Sounds, North Entrance Surf Club featuring Kemio Gold, Asher Duo, Toby Wells. Well done, mate. You're there.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
Good on well, you, Scotty.
We've got Kylie from Wyoming. Last call, 133353. What'd you queue up for, Kylie?
I queued up for over an hour to get petrol because some bloke was filling up his petrol cans in front of me.
That wasn't me,
what?
Was it?
An hour?
Yeah.
Oh, but there's a
how
lot of different pumps.
How many petrol cans did he have?
There's a lot of different pumps you can go to.
Yeah, no, but the other pumps were out of order.
Oh, so numbnuts in front of you were filling up all these cans of petrol. You waited for an hour.
Yeah.
I would have just gone to another servo, seriously.
And then instead of going into pay, he's gone in to get the key for the toilet.
Oh, Kylie.
Yeah. Probably to store up his house.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Double Pass, Surfside Sounds. You're there as well, Kylie. Thanks for that. Have a good Wednesday.
Thanks, boys.
See you, bye.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
We don't know how Narara Creek's going at this stage. Yesterday it was full of shite, allegedly, after a bit of a discharge.
I hated an unscheduled discharge.
Me too. Guilty.
Guilty. You are guilty. Oh, the car park at Triple M in Sydney.
Oh, you didn't have to bring it up.
Oh,
but Robert, when you can't find a toilet.
Still carry a cooler bag in the car, don't you?
And you know, and I'm blaming you because it was the Thursday night.
How can it be my fault?
Well, that was when we had a few beers at Terrigal and then I had to go down there. Remember that Thursday night when we had that sort of listener's
you
party?
You are blaming me because you
and
ejected.
I had dodgy stomach. And
in the back seat. In the back seat of your car. In the back seat of your car.
Or I did have to bring it up.
Under desperate. Desperate.
Because I, between getting off the Harbour Bridge and Goulburn Street, there was not one hotel on the route that I took.
Or servo.
Or servo. There's not a servo
in the city.
And there was not one place. I'm just, where can I pull in? Where
not
can
one,
I pull
not
in?
One.
And then when I got to the car park,
looking twice at shrubs,
there was no shrubs in the city.
Is that a shrub?
Oh, jeez. Oh, and then I thought, after finishing the shift, I thought that because it was in the back of the car.
Finishing the what?
Finishing the shift on air. I thought, oh, I hope there are not police surrounding the car in the car park, thinking there's a body in there. And I'm there. I then have to try and explain. You know, I've wasted police resources.
Stop.
And then I had to drive the whole way home to the Central Coast with the windows down.
David
said to me, "Where did you put it?" I said, "Up in the bin."
Our bin?
Our bin. She said, "Why didn't you drop it in the servo?" And I said, "I did not want to if they went to CCTV footage and someone went to clean out the bins of the servo." Oh, gone are the good days, Robert.
Yeah, that's right.
Gone are the bloody good days.
Then never took an unscheduled trip to Sydney for a while, did you?
Never again.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Did my wife just call?
I might have to get in touch with Kirst after the show just to apologise for her husband.
Why?
She was mortified by your, poop in a lunchbox story.
Oh, let he is not sin cast the first stone, brother Robert.
I've never pooped in a lunchbox. In a car park of the work building.
When you come
in the back of my car.
On a Thursday night before Christmas. Oh, I tell you, I've never been so busy.
No, never done that.
And you miss. Anyway, stop tickling me. Come on.
Gotta get to work.
You're wrong on so many levels, Bum. I'd hate to be on a roof today.
Oh,
4 degrees.
It's a breakfast show, for goodness sake.
Exactly. You started. Who started it?
You did.
You did. At 5 to 6. Now, come on. You did. You brought it up.
I'm not going on with this.
He brought it up. Now, we've got Shawnee P. coming up, there's a...
I bet you had missed... We have one of those new Woolies paper bags.
Oh, no. I wish I had one of those Coles ones.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Well, Robert, Dr. Justin Coulson, he is the co-host of the popular TV program Parental Guidance, Australia's top-ranked parenting podcast, the Happy Families podcast. Jesus,
couldn't you use...
I tell you what, I'm going to listen today. He joins us this morning. Dr. Justin, good morning, mate.
Justin.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Justin, there's a few things we want to talk to you about. There's a story here on the Central Coast last week about we've got this library, Lake Haven Library. There's been about 38 fights out front of the library in the year, or pretty close to it. Mate, want to know, are parents responsible for issues like this?
What we want to do as parents is raise kids to be socially mature and responsible and to, I guess the technical term that psychologists would use is we want to socialize them well. Like, that's the primary role of parents. But there does come a time in a child's life where they realize that mum and dad can't make me, in fact, sometimes mum and dad aren't there, but whoever my caregivers and carers are, they can't make me do anything. I can do whatever I want. So it's kind of a tricky question to ask because it depends on the development of the kid, how old they are, where the context places them. As a general rule, though, you're going to find that, parents have a pretty high level of responsibility for how the kids are behaving in society. It's just that as they get older, parents' influence is reduced. And frankly, when we see situations like this, sometimes if kids want to do stuff, they will, whether the parents are there or not.
Yeah. Do you reckon parents have gotten lazy over the course of time that we've been introduced to phones that we can flick through and scroll through and iPads and things like that? Have parents lost the will to parent and just go, here, just use the screen?
It's really easy to make those caricatures and stereotypes. And I'm sure that there are some parents who have just sort of checked out. Society makes it easy in some ways to do that. But the overwhelming abundance of research evidence shows that we've gone the other way. On the whole, except for a small percentage of parents, we've actually become more intense. Parental burnout is at all-time highs. So when we hear stories like this, when we've got youth gone wild, what we're usually talking about is a fairly small subset of the population who often have a range of other And this is not always the case, but they will often have a range of other challenges they're working with, whether they're economic challenges or the psychological challenges or behavioural challenges or whatever it might be. There's often in these more extreme situations, these kinds of additional burdens that are placed on families.
How does a parent rein their kid back in? As you said, if they might be 15, 16, they go off and do what they want. Mate, how can a parent rein them back in?
It gets harder as the kids get older. But the number one thing, 100% of the time, and I would say this to every parent, regardless of your circumstances, is to create or restore, rebuild a nurturing relationship with your child, a relationship of trust. See, here's the thing. For the most part, kids that come from families where the kids feel loved, they feel supported, and they have some basic limits and boundaries around them, they don't tend to get into the same kind of challenges and trouble as the stuff that you hear about in the newspaper. And that goes at both ends of the socioeconomic spectrum. Like, if we're going to really stereotype here, when we're talking about the super rich kids that get up to no good on Year 12 muck-up days, I mean, we hear those stories all the time coming out of Sydney, we're still talking about the same thing. The parents have often sort of stepped away from the parenting and that nurturing relationship and the connection, helping your kids feel seen, heard, and valued. Like, kids who really, truly feel seen, heard, and valued by their parents, they don't get up to this stuff.
Yeah, great point, Jeez. Mate. Really, really good point. Get back to nurturing the kids.
Yeah, that's it. And it's really not that hard. Even with kids that are feeling like... I remember one dad in Canberra one time, I'm doing a seminar. At the end of the night, he comes up to me and he says, I used to be best mates with my 13-year-old, and I feel like I've lost him. I just don't know what's happened to him. He used to be my best mate. And I gave him the same spiel that I've just given you, like, connect with the kid. And so we planned a camping trip. And I said, just go with no agenda, but just go. And all of a sudden, this kid's like, yeah, I miss this, Dad, and I kind of miss you. And it began the steps that brought the relationship back into good order.
Bloody hell, mate.
That's not bad.
So good to talk
Jeez,
to you,
love
Justin.
Conquers all.
Yeah, we can't wait. We'll speak to you on another occasion about parental guidance, which is coming up pretty soon. Thank you for joining us this morning, Dr. Justin Coulson.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Yes, good morning, Robert.
Morning, Patrick.
What do you got for us?
Well, a woman got home Saturday night,
and
her dog didn't recognise her. She thought, oh, I must have woken up the dog. It's gone all silly. And the dog, she thought it was having a night terror or something like that. But Sunday, it was still acting really weird. So she's looked into it. She'd been running her new diffuser, you know, those essential oils?
Mm.
And apparently, the dogs can be very allergic to these essential oils.
Mate, I am. You know how you have those MB Pure, those plug-in things?
Well,
they make me seasick. No.
Symptoms include watery eyes.
Yeah.
Nose, watery nose.
Yeah.
It's tick both of those, don't you? Throat and nose irritation, burning. Yes.
Oh.
Nausea.
Yes.
Causing drooling.
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
So, and or Where's vomiting and Tell breathing you. Difficulties.
Mate, honestly.
You've got all of those things.
No, and seriously, when Kirst would plug them in,
and
I go, oh, and I said, that's the thing that's making me sick. So I turned it off. And one day I'm turned feeling sick again, and then the kids have turned it on. But same with those little Christmas trees you have in the car.
Yeah.
The air freshness.
Makes you feel wacky.
Yes, yeah.
So the dog felt better after she turned off the diffuser, but then it started acting weird again and had to go to the emergency vet on the next day.
Yeah.
And she said, look, that it's toxic for dogs, especially things like eucalyptus, tea tree oil,
there
both toxic for dogs. And there's a whole heap of other stuff, clove, eucalyptus, garlic, geranium, Jupiter, there's heaps of them. So if your dog is a bit weird, or if you want to avoid the dog getting a bit weird, turn the diffusers off.
There you go.
When the dog's in the house.
And you might suffer from it like I did too, 133353. Well, this bloke could have used with one of these diffusers because an American tourist, he was rescued from the sewers in Thailand.
Oh, not the canal.
No, he wasn't in Narara Creek either. After wandering around underground for hours, Jonathan says he fell into a manhole, allegedly, walking back to his hotel, which is famous for the nightlife sex industry and called Sin City.
Just walking along
and he fell.
Down he goes.
You see that on the episode of Simpsons. But
or Coyote.
Not in real life.
The Roadrunner.
He was eventually heard calling for help. And if there's a place you'd like to fall into, it wouldn't be a sewer in Thailand, would it?
No, not at all. I reckon that'd be...
A 26-year-old security officer said he first heard Jonathan screaming. He was able to... he was on his way to a convenience store for a drink, allegedly. He suddenly heard the foreigner shouting and then looked around, looked down, and then saw this man peeking at him from the drain.
He's gone in there to hide from something, hasn't he?
I don't know.
But, I know, I'll hide in here.
Oh, look. Yeah. If there's ever a time you want to wear one of those Christmas trees around your neck that you hang on your rear vision mirror, that'd be the occasion.
Don't bite your fingernails.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
You dropped me to the gym the other day because I didn't have a car. Yeah. And when we're in the car...
I didn't see you go in the gym.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I just dropped you out the gym.
I did so. I did glutes the other day. And seriously, oh, not glutes, legs. And my glutes, I'm going to have to get you to rub them later on if that's not an issue. Okay, fair enough. Okay. And there's a show on TV called Mike Rose with the Dirty Jobs. Have you ever seen that on National Geographic?
World's Worst Jobs.
Oh, yeah, he goes, he's great. He's really good, Mike Rose. And he goes to all these jobs. And whatever they are, you know, could be in the sewer, could be anywhere. Oh, some of them horrendous. It makes me sick watching it, but it's a good show. And you were telling me, is it true about the horse?
Oh, there it is.
Is this true? And I want to know 1-3-3-5-3.
Oh, that got, yeah, well, there was a lady. I went out to these stables and there was a lady there and her job was is to go true? Out and clean the.
Whoop! I'm like, yeah.
Clean the horses of Bendage. And it was quite funny to see because I turned up and you see, you know, someone shoeing a horse, right? Yeah. They lift up the leg and they shoe it.
Get
and
the blacksmith
horse
out there.
Horse is standing there. Yeah, yeah, get the shoe on, would you?
Give me a Windsor Smith.
They don't feel a thing because you put the nails into the hooves. Yeah. And it's like.
Walk around in Doc Martens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they do.
But the horses act very differently when they're having their cleaned.
So
this woman professionally cleans horses.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, that's right.
And
they have to.
We should have.
they have to, like, people pay her to come out and do
how much?
I think it's $50 a clean.
On horses. I can't believe you got down on your fours.
Can I have a go? You're an apprenticeship for this.
Yeah.
It's to clean them. Like the muck.
Oh,
the,
you know what? Yeah, anyway, Tony Newings, who is a horse trainer, Central Coast horse trainer, he just texts me. Tone, what'd he write? What do you want to know? Oh, we should give Tony a call and ask.
Oh, yeah, right. I think we do.
All right, we'll go to a professional.
$50, I thought.
Gee, that's cheap.
Reach for my wallet.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Good morning, Tone.
Ah, Tony.
Morning, lad.
How are you, buddy?
I'm very good.
Now,
those horses, they look like they enjoy a good clean too. I tell you what, the facials on the horse was quite amazing.
You love it, mate. They love a good clean.
So what's it called?
Oh, mate, look, I don't know if it's got a name, but it just clean their sheep. It's the same as, I suppose, if a man's uncircumcised, if you... Don't keep it clean, you'll run into trouble.
Yeah, but I don't employ a woman for $50 to do it. Oh, that's a no, I'm circumcised.
They can't clean it themselves, Paddy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
$50 is $50, Paddy.
Yeah. Don't I know that?
Come on now.
Okay. Mate, have you got any runners this weekend?
No, I've got one in the first of Lismore today. He's a rough chance in a small field. But that's about it for a couple of weeks.
Okay, then what's the name of that horse?
Screech.
Screech. Okay, what happens when the horse gets cleaned?
Okay. Well, you know when you scratch a dog's belly and its leg starts to go funny? It's like that. You should see when it happens to a horse. It's quite remarkable.
So Screech. All right, Tone. Well, hope it goes well in Lismore, okay?
Thanks, guys.
See good you. On you, mate. Thanks for that, buddy.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now and you'll never miss an episode.